This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at topics related to the COVID-19 pandemic with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
We have seen overall an uptick in the local cases, and according to information that was put out over the weekend, you're also seeing younger people. Tell us more about the situation.
So we'd had a low number of cases the week before last, and then this last week we saw an increase in number of cases. These cases are coming from lots of different places. We see some school cases, we see a lot of workplace cases, we see social gatherings, and we're seeing some church outbreaks. So put them all together, and we've got more cases than we had the week before.
And what about the aspect, though, of the younger people getting impacted by this now?
Yes, we are seeing younger people, and many places across the country have noted that. I think there's two things going on here. One is we're just seeing fewer older people because many older people are vaccinated and the vaccines are very effective. But we think when the variants are here, we are going to see younger people and younger people who are sicker. So in the hospital, we have 13 people in the hospital. I think all of them are younger than me. So it is a younger group who are sick and in the hospital.
And that's a trend that it sounds like we're seeing around the nation right now as well.
It is a bad trend that we're seeing around the nation to have younger people sicker and more younger people in the hospital. That is a big worry.
Now, one of the questions I'm curious about, now that in Oregon, anyone over age 16 can be vaccinated, are we seeing, though, that people that are from 16 up to 30 or low 30s, are we seeing a lower percentage of them getting vaccinated than maybe middle-aged and older folks?
We are. So certainly older people rushed to get the vaccine. I think younger people are moseying to get the vaccine, so they're not going very fast, and we really would like to get those young people going. The vaccines are available, they're safe, they're effective, and they're widely available. So those young people who have not yet gotten it, get out there and get it.
What are you hearing about the reasons for the younger people not getting it?
So some of the reason is that they just haven't set aside the time yet to do it. So I talked to a young man this morning, and he knows about the vaccine, knows how great it is, and he just hasn't quite gotten around to it. So now's the time to get around to it because it's plenty of places around town. We have some people a little worried because they don't want to be first and they worry about the side effects. But now the Moderna and the Pfizer, over 100 million doses and very few side effects. So if you're worried about the side effects, I think we can be done with that. Some people thought that there wasn't enough data on these. There's so much data on these vaccines now. So for anybody who has been worried about it, they should go get it.
I've been talking to a number of people in their 20s, all of whom have not gotten vaccinated yet, and they said they just felt like being younger, they had a strong immune system, they were healthy, and they just weren't worried about catching it.
And I think that's a big concern, because when I look at some of our sickest people, they would have said the same thing about themselves. Look, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need to get this vaccine, and yet they've been really, really laid low by this disease. So when I look at the number of people in the hospital here, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, being young and healthy doesn't work. The other thing that we worry about is that young people may not get sick themselves, but young people tend to be around older people. And when they're around older people, they can give it to one of the older people.
Now, I'm curious as well, looking at this number of 13 people in the hospital, that seems like one of the highest numbers we've had in the last year.
This is a high number. You remember we had a peak in the fall and then another peak in February, and this is right up there with those two last peaks. And this is at a time the number of cases is relatively low. So our percentage of people hospitalized is curiously high.
What about Oregon? We've got 15 counties now back in the extreme risk level. Is some of the rise in these counties, is that due to the variants as well?
We think so. So you'll remember that the variants take a little while to get the data. So the data on the variants is always lagging. But we think the B.1.1.7 variant, which is otherwise known as the UK variant, is now starting to spread more widely in Oregon. And as it spreads more widely, we worry about increasing numbers. And the other thing that with the B.1.1.7 is that in many places that have had this, they have also noticed younger people getting sick.
The governor said, I think it was on Friday, she hopes to end the COVID restrictions by the end of June. But in her presentation, that was Friday's press conference, pointed also to the need for more people to be vaccinated so that we could get through this period.
Right. I think we are really at a crossroads right now where we're sort of battling the onset of the variants against the number of people vaccinated. And the quicker we can go ahead and get people vaccinated, the better time we'll have this summer. If we could get up to 60 or 70% vaccinated by this summer, I think we could see very low levels of disease, and then we could get rid of many of the restrictions.
What about the national picture? Tell us what's happening around the nation when it comes to COVID-19.
Well, around the nation, you'll remember there was a first peak in the spring, second peak in the summer, third peak in the fall, and then we saw a little fourth peak. And the question was, what was going to happen to that fourth peak after spring break? And we think the peak kind of ended. And so the fourth peak was just a little bump, and it ended. And throughout the country, it's pretty quiet, but there are certain areas that we worry about. Michigan and Minnesota previously had a lot of disease, but they're going down. New York, New Jersey previously had a lot of disease, but they're going down. But we're starting to see increasing amount of disease in Missouri, increasing amounts of disease in Colorado and in the Washington and Oregon areas. And that's probably because the variants are now starting to infiltrate the areas.
What about the world picture, particularly the situation in India? What can you tell us about that?
Well, the world picture is really grim. So at a time when the U.S. had just a little blip of a fourth wave, the rest of the world has had an incredible spike in that fourth wave. So when we look at what's happening in India, what's happening in South America and in places in Europe, this is their worst time ever. So in India, they're running out of oxygen, they're running out of hospital beds, they're running out of tests. So although the number of cases from India is staggering, it probably is even more than that because they've run out of tests. So it really is worrisome. The other thing that's worrisome is that in India, there's a new variant. The variant is the B.1.617, and that's a very different variant from other areas. And so we worry that this variant is going to somehow not be as well controlled by the vaccine, because there is some data among healthcare workers in India that were vaccinated with the Pfizer or AstraZeneca vaccine who are now getting sick with the 617 variant. So India is a huge concern. South America is a big concern. Uruguay has the highest rate of disease anywhere in the world.
Now, going back to India, one of the things there I would think that contributes to this is their extremely dense population ratio.
They have very, very dense populations. And because previous to this, they'd had relatively low amounts of disease, they didn't have much restrictions on movement and restrictions on gathering. And because of that, they've really had a big surge. And it really is worrisome. 400,000 cases a day is just overwhelming. You remember back when China had all their trouble, they had 80,000 cases total. We're talking in India about 390,000 new cases in a single day.
And for India, what do you know about their healthcare system in general?
Well, their healthcare system is, even in good times, struggling. There's a lot of class inequity in India. I think probably the rich people in India have a reasonably good time, but there are lots of poor people struggling, and this has totally overwhelmed their system.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. State Representative Cedric Hayden on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Our weekly in-depth look at topics around the COVID-19 pandemic. Wanted to spend some time on the vaccine situation again. I heard early this morning that places like Israel and I've seen as well parts of the New York City area, New Jersey, and Connecticut doing much better and even in some cases sort of quote-unquote getting back to normal due to the high percentage of people being that have already been vaccinated.
I think this is what we're seeing. So Israel, which had a lot of disease just a few months ago, has now got well over half of their population vaccinated, and they're having very low rates. The UK, which really, really struggled around Christmas time, is now down to an average of about 3 cases per 100,000 per day. At 3 per 100,000, you could get back pretty much to normal and get rid of many of the restrictions. Similarly, New York, New Jersey, which had lots of diseases a few weeks ago, they have high numbers of people vaccinated, and they've been able to bring their case counts down to less than 20. So they, all of those places that are vaccinated have really done a great job. So that even more evidence that that's got to be our number one battle at this time.
I heard from someone this morning who lives in New Jersey, just outside of New York City. And because they had the experience that you talked about, knowing folks and being from back there originally, they saw the intensity, they saw the high numbers, the numbers of deaths, the numbers of cases several months ago, that as the vaccine was out there, people essentially rushed to get it. And in fact, I'm seeing here, and this just came across my attention during the break, that New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo said today that New York, New Jersey, Connecticut will reopen May 19th. And in fact, the New York City subways will reopen 24/7 on the 17th. That's a big switch there. But I'm told because of what they've seen, people back there were much more in a rapid movement to get their vaccine.
So I think people in New York, New Jersey saw the horrors that could come with COVID and were really chafing at the restrictions. And they responded to those restrictions by really moving to get vaccinated. So they've done a great job in getting vaccinated. We're about 10 points behind the New York City area, but we can get there. We've got a lot of vaccine, a lot of places to get it, and a lot of willing providers.
Now, as well, and this has been out for a couple of weeks, but the CDC had put guidance out regarding vaccinated people and outdoor gatherings.
So outdoors is always much safer than indoors. And if you combine being outdoors and being vaccinated, your risk is extremely low. And so if you're vaccinated and outdoors, pretty much you can get rid of most restrictions. So the only time you would need to wear a mask outdoors if you were vaccinated would be if you were in a crowd outdoors, but just going for a walk or going for a bike ride, going for a run, you would not need to wear a mask. That's a great thing.
And that sounds like for a lot of people as well, that at least some smaller social gatherings can begin to take place again. I actually, in the past week, saw a couple of different situations with small groups of people and even live musicians, which was just daunting to me that I hadn't seen a live musician play in months.
So that's what the kind of things we're wanting to get back to normal. We want to do music on the half show. We want to do the arts festival. We want to do a fair. But to do those things, we need to get enough people vaccinated so that our number of cases is low. While the number of cases is reasonably high as it is now, you could easily have an event that could wind up to be a super spreader event. But again, outside is so much safer, and we would recommend outdoor activities whenever possible.
I was looking at the COVID-19 response team data from the past few days, and there was a big increase in the number of people in isolation between Friday and Sunday. That sounds like some outbreaks happening, and I'm curious how that affects all the work of the DPHN staff.
Well, the DPHN staff has worked every single day since last March. And so we have four teams. One team is always on each weekend, and they worked all weekend with that. Many of the new contacts this week were school-based contacts, and school-based contacts tended a lot of contacts at one time. But they've been doing this. There's been somebody on call 24/7 for over a year now.
And what kind of work goes into this? Because, I mean, when you have one of these situations that if it's school or whatever, where suddenly you've got a large amount of people, that's a lot of folks that you need to talk to in a short amount of time.
There's a lot of people to talk to and a lot of people who we support in isolation. So in addition to just talking to them, many people need stuff, deliveries of groceries, deliveries of other medications or things. And our support team is doing those things to support people who are in isolation or quarantine.
And I imagine as well there are some complexities. I was thinking through this a while back, knowing some people that were in quarantine at the time. For some people, it's easier to deal with based on your living situation, maybe a large house, things like that. But then there are cases, and some of these school ones may indeed be it as well, where you have, several people but living in, you know, an apartment or a very small home. And so some of the things in terms of isolation or quarantine are a lot harder to do.
So quarantine and isolation may be really hard for people, and we have had groceries delivered and medications delivered and things that people need to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And the new quarantine requirements are for 2 weeks. That's a long time to be quarantined.
And some people as well, the added complexity of depending on what your job is, presuming that you are hopefully feeling healthy and all of that, some people can more easily work from home. Some people just flat out can't because of the type of job they have, which adds to the whole economic aspect of, you know, trying to pull off life these days.
And it makes it very hard. So, for example, one of the areas we've seen lots of cases has been in our mills because we have lots of people working in those mills. And it's really, really hard for the mills to continue staffing when they have a lot of people who are sick and a lot of people who are contacts.
For the virus itself, what are some of the new things that are being learned about it, especially with all these variants?
So we are learning more about the variants. The variants are very worrisome because they do seem to be more contagious and less well controlled by the vaccine. So we worry about those. And what we see is when the variants get into an area, they spread very quickly over the space of weeks rather than months. So the variants spread quickly. Other things that we found is that the vaccine does seem to work very nicely against at least the B.1.1.7 variant. And so that's why we're encouraging people to get vaccinated as soon as possible. Other things that we've seen is that the vaccine does prevent against asymptomatic disease as well as symptomatic disease. So multiple studies from around the world have shown that when people are vaccinated, not only are they less likely to die, they're less likely to get hospitalized, they're less likely to be symptomatic, and they're far less likely to carry the virus and have an asymptomatic case. So all of the things that we'd hope the vaccine would do, it seems to do.
And for people in the rural areas, transportation is sometimes an issue. We've got the Douglas County Tiger Team with the pop-up COVID vaccine clinics to bring the vaccine closer to people's homes.
Right. So our Tiger Team is going to be in a bunch of different places around the county over the next few weeks. They're going to be in Scottsburg, Elkton, Sutherland, Oakland, Azalea, Glendale, Days Creek, Milo Tiller, Diamond Lake, Camas Valley. So they're going to be all around given the vaccine. They're going to have a combination of the Moderna vaccine and the J&J vaccine so people can make a choice as to which vaccine they want. And so please go get your vaccine.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.